Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's my privilege and pleasure to welcome to the Salyer Report Dr. Laura Thompson, who is the CEO and founder of the Southern California Institute of Clinical Nutrition in Carlsbad, California. Also, as a matter of disclosure, Dr. Thompson is my nutritionist and go-to person on all things health. She's where I start. I'm deeply prejudiced. I think she's fantastic. We've done several Salyer reports with Laura that are going to support our conversation today. So I will link to them from the Salyer Report blog post for this Salyer Report. But after taking a look at what was coming in the fall, I said, holy smokes, I need to get every subscriber focused on planning and building time into your schedule this fall to make sure we support your physical wellness. So I called Laura and said, please do a Salyer Report, and here she is. So Dr. Laura Thompson, welcome back to the Salyer Report.
Hi, thanks, Catherine. Hello, everybody. Glad to be here again.
Okay, so 9 tips to support and produce positive change. And I like the idea of positive change because we need to have a goal of getting healthier during this period. Not just surviving this period, but getting healthier. So 9 tips to support and produce positive change. Let's dive right in. What's number one?
Okay, so, I think, just look at the sort of the basics. You need good food, you need good air, good water, and good sense. And I know that you talk about all of those all the time, but that's, I think they sort of speak for themselves, so we could probably just move on to number two.
Okay, number two, which I think is going to be so important this fall. Take it away.
Aha. So hydration. It's an interesting topic because most people think of hydration as drinking water. And this is actually, to me, the number one most important, most vital issue to handle, especially in times of stress. I usually say, if things seem futile whether it's your attempt to change financial situations because someone else may be pulling the strings, your attempt to improve your health, to lose weight because you're giving someone else the power, that you could actually usurp that, and you can taking control of the things you can take control of is where your health will really take off. And hydration is one of those areas. So certainly water consumption is super important, and the usual formula for water consumption is half your body weight in ounces. So if you're 150 pounds and 75 ounces, right? Usually tell people a minimum of 2 liters. I was just working with a 9-year-old last week who's super overweight, and I really, really punched this whole topic with her, and it turned out she was drinking like maybe, 4 ounces or less of water a day. I said she's finally gotten up to 2 full glasses now in a week's time. Easy thing to do, and so on top of that, you figure, okay, you're intaking water, and a lot of people are. Probably a lot of your subscribers are, taking in as much as they think they should. The second point about that is the body actually taking it into the cells? And this is, as I said before, I think the single most important issue in times of stress. I mean, in general anyway, but in times of stress, this particular issue can become, it may not happen properly. The problem is that water is actually a multi-mineral, and taking minerals into the cell is what basically expedites absorption of all your food, of anything. If you're talking about even absorbing anything at the cellular level, absorbing emotions at the cellular level, absorbing whatever, is controlled by the sodium-potassium pump. And, typically, if you look at chemistry, the sodium, which is Na, is more acidic, and the potassium, K, is more alkaline. And, of course, we need both. You know, we have to have right. the balance of nature. You have to have both. So the scales tip in times of stress because we burn minerals. You know, the adrenal glands, which are your stress glands, run on minerals. And our brain, we utilize body electricity, which is all based on minerals. We utilize these and we overutilize them because we need them. So, you know, you rob the bank only so many times and then there's nothing left. You have to remineralize. So the sodium-potassium pump basically is involved with not only blood buffering, whether the body's going to be alkaline or acid. And by the way, if the body is too acid, then that's when we get congested and we have buildup of toxicity. But it controls what we call the right spin or the left spin of the cells. So left spin is when we don't have a healthy field emitted by the cells. The extracellular matrix, you know, what's between the cells, becomes congested or toxic when the cells are left spinning. When the cells are right spinning, we have the healthy field emitted by the cells, and that's when nutrition gets transported at the cellular level into the cells. So hydrating, drinking water helps to establish the right spin, but you also have to have good absorption, which is, you know, this is one of those sort of catch-22 right. situations. But you can, you know, you can shift it with balancing the pH, with dealing with geopathic stress, where you're living, you know, are you on a grid that's not, you know, helpful for your body electricity. Electrolytes and minerals and things like that are all important in establishing the right spin. So I know I'm talking on and on, but I really wanted to make that point because you could eat anything, you know, you could be really diligent with your food. You know, you could be doing a Vitamix drink every morning and, you know, really eating clean and avoiding all the bad guys. And you may still not be feeling well or where you think you should be feeling. And that could be because the cells are not spinning in the right direction. So that is super important. Check on.
Well, one thing I have to bring this up because I was just stunned. I have a friend who keeps me abreast of what's going on in the food industry, and he sent me a list of what the expenditures were in U.S. supermarkets for the last 52 weeks. And the total expenditure on vegetables was a little bit more than $2 billion, and the total expenditure on carbonated drinks was $10 billion. And I almost fell off my chair.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. So we spend more on dog food than we spend on vegetables. And, and you know, if I have a sin, it's drinking too much coffee, which is a big dehydrator. Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the ways to hydrate is to just stop dehydrating.
Exactly.
And if you look at, it's not just coffee that's a dehydrator. Am I not correct? The carbonated drinks are dehydrators as well?
Yeah, one of the things about the carbonated drinks with the phosphoric acid, you know, you have an imbalance of minerals that happens. The body actually excretes calcium. You can create a calcium buildup. So, you know, all of the anything that creates a mineral imbalance can be dehydrating.
Right. So one of the important things I think is, you know, it's not just you need to hydrate, but you need to stop dehydrating. So the country could save $10 billion, get healthier. Okay. Number three.
Okay. So balancing the blood sugar, I think one of the things that happens in times of stress is, first of all, it's sort of like your body is continuing to go. Even while you're sleeping, you know, it uses fuel. It uses more fuel than usual. And you run out of fuel, the brain doesn't think straight. The body starts to store fat. store your carbohydrates as fat, and, you know, basically starts to run inefficiently. People run out of energy, blah, blah, blah. So a really important, and I know anybody out there who's a dieter or just is really trying to focus on eating well probably already knows the idea of eating small meals and at regular intervals throughout the day, every 3 hours or something. That is so important during times of stress to keep the blood sugar balanced, because you don't make the right decisions if your blood sugar is not balanced. You know, as with a girlfriend, I was talking to a girlfriend today, and she was super out of it yesterday. I wish I had understood exactly what was happening, because she's out of it a lot. So I didn't know that this time was different. But she hadn't eaten all day. She ended up leaving her computer and her tablet and everything at the library where she was. And her blood sugar was low, and she made the wrong decision. She left, and it got stolen. We make lots of decisions during times of stress. We try to, because it requires us to be on our toes and to keep thinking about whatever is coming next, or to try and be ahead of the curve. And you want to make sure that your brain is fueled properly in order to do that.
Right. So if you have to go to the library, if you can't go eat, for heaven's sakes, carry snacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can always do something.
Yeah, I think the snack carrying thing is a great idea. Really, really great idea. Because you're invariably going to have, you know, you're going to be out and about. And I think we don't drive right. You know, we don't type right. There's so many things that can be affected if the brain isn't getting proper fuel. And it makes sense when you think about it. It's not a machine. It really does need fuel. The great thing about the body is that that it does have methods of self-correcting, you know, but you just have to give it what it needs to do that.
Right. I carry a little juicer with me wherever I go, and I always have fruits and nuts in the cars, and and I have the juicer, so I can always juice something up. And I like to do that, because I find that, and I do the juicing, it's really, you know, it's really a little blender. So I have the compost, and I find that I can always keep my blood sugar up no matter what's going on, as long as I have those. So the next one, number four.
Yeah. So as far as stress handling, you know, and, you know, we have mental and we have emotional, we have physical, we even have spiritual stress. And so we could we could do a full phone call on that, on this topic. One of the things that I find, and I'm sure everybody has their own ways of coping with stress, you know, whether it be spiritual work, you know, prayer, meditating. Some people do processes. Like this girlfriend I just talked to you about, she said, next time you talk to me and I sound really out of it like that, tell me to go through my process. And she has this mental step thing, stepwise, like five steps that she goes through to get herself really centered. Everybody, by the time you get to be, at least in my age, I'm over 60, you find ways to cope. I think that's one of the things that comes with age, is that you become wiser about how to handle things. So, you know, check in with yourself and do your processes, whatever that might be, because that's probably more important. Once you're centered, oh my gosh, so many things can happen that can't happen when you're not centered.
Right.
And that could be religious, it could be non-religious, you know, it could be, like you said, Catherine, when we were talking yesterday, I've actually scheduled a massage for myself every 2 weeks. I never in the past ever did anything like that. But it just happens to be something that's really grounding for me.
Yeah.
Now, the other part.
Yeah, I used to always do, whenever people got divorced, I used to make them promise that, number one, they would get a regular massage, and number two, they would hire a cleaning lady. And they'd say, well, you know, that's a lot of money to do those two things. And I said, it's cheaper than getting married again and getting married to the wrong person. Well, but it was true. It worked all the time. You know, so you just, everybody has these needs, and if you don't fill them, you're going to end up filling them with the wrong place and the wrong time for the wrong reason.
You know, I figured out since I was 20, or whenever I got out of college, age 22 or something, that it behooved me to have someone clean my house because I hate it, number one, and therefore, because I hate it, I procrastinate and, you know, put it off and it takes longer. And hiring a cleaning person for me, even if it was just once a month, actually saved me money because I was able to, you know, get more things done. Right. So, yeah, I mean, those are ways of relieving stress as well. I think, I've been thinking about this a lot lately because I just recently went through probably the most horrendous stressful period of my life, losing my dad, and then lots of other things that occurred in this past year. And I know that my brain suffered. I hope it's not evident, but one of the things that happens with stress is that we have inflammatory damage. I say damage, and I don't really know, or I'm not going to be specific about what that is. I don't even think I could. But when the brain gets damaged or it becomes inflamed, we don't feel that. It's not like, you know, you hit your knee, you fell or something, you hit your hip or your knee or whatever, and you feel that. You know, that's totally obvious. But with the brain, it's not. In fact, one day I thought I might write a book called Where Does It Hurt? Because the brain becomes affected by stress. In effect, it has pain. I mean, you could have a headache. That would be an obvious way that the brain may show, you know, some inflammation. But most of the inflammatory damage that's done to the brain is not felt except over time, or maybe even by your friends, like my girlfriend. Right. I know something's going on there. It happens. Kind of like it chips away at the memory and your focus and concentration, your effectiveness, even emotions, you know. And sometimes, you know, when things happen in a process like that, which is how a lot of things do happen in the body, you don't necessarily notice it as it's happening. It's like that baby step thing. Eventually, it's a giant leap, and then you know, after months or years, and then all of a sudden you sit back and say, I think something has happened to my brain, you know. And this
right.
is what
and one of the reasons
stress.
One of the reasons I wanted to do this Solari report at this time is I looked forward into the calendar for the next couple months, and I said, you know, I want everybody to put up a shield. Because when you have this much change happening at once, you know, and also different things around you imploding that sort of come and steal and grab your time, you know, everyone needs to put up a shield because you need to protect that good, strong brain.
Mm-hmm. So how do you propose to put up the shield?
Well, that's what I've been thinking about. One of the things I do is I just say, okay, look, you know, this is serious. In other words, when you have energetic arrows coming at you, it's just as serious as physical arrows. So one of it is realizing, oh, all these energetic arrows are headed all of our ways. And what I need to do, you know, the first thing I need to do is build in time to my schedule for, you know, the thing that helps me the most in navigating is prayer. But I need to make sure to get plenty of sleep, hydration, then I need to realize, oh, energetic arrows. And, you know, I have all these different tricks of, okay, energetic shields going up. But the other thing is I've gotten absolutely ruthless about cutting out of my life activities that are non-productive. So I don't mind handling stress if there's a productive result for Solari or for me or for somebody I love. But if there's nothing productive coming out of it, if it's just a drain, boom, it's got to go. So I'm getting ruthless about that. There was one thing I used to do in the 90s. We made up something called the beauty tool. And it was a list of things that we found to be very energizing and supportive of us emotionally or spiritually or physically, like massage, that didn't cost a lot of money. And we would literally have a list of things. And if the day started to get stressful, we'd pull out the list and say, okay, what can we do, you know, to spoil ourselves? And so we would have candles or music. And you could walk into our office in the middle of the day. You know, I'd walk in and suddenly everybody had a candle on their desk and I'd say, uh-oh, what happened? But it was literally a way of constantly, you know, infusing positive energy in the situation in a way that was practical or not that expensive. And and I think all of it contributed to a sense of, look, I don't have to handle this stress, you know. I deserve to have, you know, a stress, a plus energy life. I don't have to just take this. The third, you know, another thing I'm going to do for this fall is I'm going to dramatically underschedule. Because there's so many surprise demands on your time that I'm just going to dramatically underschedule. The other thing I wanted to mention that I used to always do is I would have a list of things I wanted to get done. And when the stress would go off the charts and it just put my brain in a state where I couldn't focus, it was just like too bad, too overwhelming, I'd say, okay, I'd pull out the other list and I'd say, we're going to clean our closets today.
Oh my gosh, I totally understand that.
Yeah, yes, I could do, you know, I could do that. It wasn't on the priority list, but then the next morning when you wake up, you've gotten a huge amount accomplished. It's kind of like a force multiplier. You've gotten plenty done instead of just sitting out being stressed out and not able to do the thing. Right. So I have that backup list and I find it's a real force multiplier. So, cause I just, you know, I just don't quit. And, but some days you have to take a break from the thing that's causing the pain. So you go to your backup list.
Clearing things out like that is another form of detox. In fact, when people are going through detoxification programs in my practice, that's one thing that I actually have them, you know, I talk to them about the clutter and just layers of things physically in their
right.
life. And I personally, this past year, I mentioned I had a very, very hard year. I felt so paralyzed emotionally, even with all of my tools, and thank heavens I have my tools. I couldn't figure out, you know, how to put one foot in front of the other on certain days. And I thought, okay, so the one thing that I know I can do is I can start weeding things out, you know, whether that be
right.
in my yard or my clothes or, you know, and it's something really interesting happens because you shift the dynamics of your life when you shift
yes.
your physical, you know, physical environment.
Yeah, yeah, we have a great Solaria report on cleaning
right.
with Eunice Boston and how that can contribute to, you know, sort of cleaning out a lot. You know, when you clean out your physical space, you can sometimes clean out your energetic space and it affects the other things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
One thing
I
would like, go ahead.
I was just going to mention about inflammatory issues for the brain. One of the things that I find works, you know, very well, really on a kind of subtle level, although it doesn't have to be, but it often is, because energetic things are often not, you know, perceived by the individual, is homeopathics. I utilize certain homeopathics for, like I have one product called Heart Song for, you know, people going through traumas, generational shifting issues, and just, you know, loss and heartbreak, and which happens a lot, of course, with money, you know, and
right.
and then there are certain homeopathics that help to support the hypothalamus, pituitary gland, and in the brain, and the pineal gland, which is the gland of dreams and, you know, ESP and psychic powers, and it's also very involved with sleep production. And homeopathics are so, I guess they really help you just get into your groove, you know. They help you be you without, you know, adding nutrients or anything like that. So they work energetically, and so I just find them to be so incredibly profound. I was taught by someone in my field who's, you know, like one of those guru type guys, a lot about brain nutrition. And the one thing that he kept pounding into our heads was top down, top down. Start at the top, let the brain do, and the glandular structures in the brain do, give the orders properly, and then everything will flow. Start from the top, and then the down stuff will happen.
Hmm. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
adrenals.
You before.
Oh, don't worry. I'm going to move that further down. Adrenals. Did you want to mention strengthening the adrenals?
I want to say one more thing about the brain since we're on the topic. So I was reading this book by Daniel Pink, you know, his stuff.
No.
It's called The Whole Mind, and it's about right brain thinking. And so I was thinking, you know, in times of stress like these times now, of course, we always have stress, but this is really another level. I think that it really behooves us to support the right brain thinking, because that's where you get the brainstorms. You know, that's where
right.
you enhance artistry, you enhance creativity. And how do you do that? Well, there are lots of things that you can do nutritionally to support the right brain, which would be anything from using different food grade oils, minimizing omega-6s like animal fats. I'm not saying you shouldn't eat animal, but animal fats can impair the absorption of omega-3s, which help with fluidity of the brain, how the brain communicates with the rest of the body. And I was thinking even things like eating meals together. I think that promotes more brain fluidity because you're constantly absorbing more than just the food. You're absorbing it's just the power of people being together. And the food reaches higher heights that way. And then there's conversation, and then you have to shift and integrate. And, you know, there's something to be said for segregating or separating, and then there's something to be said for integrating. You know, you need them both. And so I think that all of those things really help to be able to think on your feet.
Right.
So adrenals.
Okay.
I'm going back to what you asked before.
Adrenals.
Because the adrenal glands are your stress balancing glands, and they easily get tapped out. They easily get tapped out, especially when it's super hot out. You become dehydrated. You're minerally, reduced. You've had a whole bunch of stress. You have a heavy physical schedule. I know I totally did myself in. I at the age of 57, I did a boot camp for 7 months and, like 500 jumping jacks and 400 sit-ups and 300 tricep dips and 200 squat thrusts, you know, that kind of thing. I was really – not that I was able to accomplish all that, but I was – absolutely. That was one of the most stupid things I ever did in my life because I didn't realize that at my age, I guess you don't have to always pull the age card, but I am, because I was in a very, very heavy work schedule and I tore my body down and had a lot of injuries. And anyway, I think there comes a time when we, especially people who are athletes or heavy exercisers, that you have to really pay attention to, is what you're doing actually building or you know, it's a catabolic activity that's chipping away at your bones and your ligaments and your tendons,
right,
and all that, and your adrenals. So, in other words, over physical activity drains the adrenals to the point where we actually are doing the opposite of what we think, which is we're tearing the body down, we're creating fatigue, we're having sleep problems, and, you know, we're tearing down muscle and bone and all that. So supporting the adrenals through whatever, whether it's over-exercise or just normal stress situations, can be done with B vitamins. That's a pretty simple thing that people can do. And all the way up to advanced adrenal supplement, nutritional supplements, taking animal glandular adrenal supplements, they're very, very positive for rebuilding adrenal health. It's sort of like an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You know, you use adrenal to heal your adrenals. So those are some tips on that topic.
What I was going to say before is I was trying to describe to somebody today what happens in a deflation. If you go through a period in the economy where you build up, you know, you have very low cost of capital, very loose monetary policy, you end up building up a lot of economic activities that make no fundamental sense. A lot of it happens with government money. And then when you bring them down, those worlds collapse. And it's, you know, I think I told you before, it's almost as you're not just seeing economic collapse in those areas, but you're seeing the equivalent of energetic collapse, so morphogenic field. You know, people get built into activities or flows or cultures or worlds that don't work anymore. So they kind of fold in on themselves. And as that happens, you know, I said to them today, I said, look, you know, what we've been doing is building up a lot of stuff which is economically toxic. So it detoxing is not necessarily bad. You know, in fact, some of it can be very good. It just, you know, but detox, as you know, can be very healthy for the body, but it doesn't necessarily feel great as it's happening. So,
right.
I'm always trained in everything I'm looking at to say, where's the opportunity? And what I see is enormous change. A lot of it is change we've been talking about on the Soleria Report for years. And in all of those changes, there's opportunity. But you always have to say, okay, where's the opportunity? You have to put your opportunity glasses on. Because if you don't, you won't find the pathway. And that's why I think what you said about the right brain is very important, because it's the right brain that usually finds the opportunities. And you always have these left brain people sitting around dehydrated saying, shut up, shut up. Right? Am I right? And,
right?
And you've got to have a nice tall glass of water and take a deep breath and think, you know, okay, where's the opportunity? And that's where you find the pathway. Because the right now for the people who are on strong fundamental economic ground, things can be pretty good. If you're sort of off sides and it's coming down, it's pretty bad. So a lot of it depends on where you are. But wherever you are, there's opportunity, and you've got to find that and have those, you know, be prepared to put your opportunity glasses on no matter what's going on. Okay, so you ready for the next one?
Sure.
One of my favorite topics. Okay, take it away.
What, poop? Is that
effective digestion?
Yeah, right. You know, I think that people are probably much more educated about digestion now, partially because of Dr. Oz. You know, I believe, you know, the topic of digestion, or, you know, the shape of your poop, et cetera, seems to be more commonplace now than ever before. And but just to make sure that we're on the same page, if you're eating two or three meals a day, or the equivalent of thereof, you know, four or five small meals a day, the bowel should be moving, you know, at minimum of once a day, but twice a day would be dynamite, and three times a day would be, it's almost unheard of, but full bowel movement would be about the shape of a, you know, the length of a banana, medium to dark brown. And it doesn't fall apart, and it's not in little plops. and so, you know, essentially the shape of your intestines. And you get that when you, number one, eat enough food, you eat the right type of food. The body's actually got proper enzymatic activity that would be determined by either the stomach or the pancreas. And you'd have good peristalsis, so the muscles in around the intestines are moving things down properly. You have a good population of gut bacteria, whether it be acidophilus or bifidus or the various other gut bacteria. They're in proper proportion. And you eat foods that create life, which, you know, when I work with people who are say, trying to get pregnant, I always say, eat, make your body more alive. Eat foods that create life, and that, which would be foods that are enzymatic, the foods that are enzyme-rich, which would be basically raw produce, but there are other foods that are life-giving, but those are the ones that are really, like seeds, for instance. But the ones that really help with efficient digestion would be the less you have to put, you know, on your body to digest. If a food has enzymes in it, it's going to be in essence, it's going to be pre-digested. So the more you eat dead food, which would be something that sits on the shelf and is requiring the body to work hard. Dead food creates death. You know, live food creates life. So that's, I think, super important, obviously, because the reason we eat, aside from pleasure, is to feed the body. So having the digestion be, you know, efficient is, you know, obviously, probably next to hydration, the most important thing.
Right. Okay, immune strength.
So you're talking about, you know, before about the shield, and this is your shield. I mean, this physically is your shield. This is your internal army. This is your protector. This is the system that allows in invaders or doesn't. This is the system that fights, you know, skirmishes from skirmishes up to battles. And, you know, experts have sort of batted around different percentages as far as how much of the immune system is actually in the gut. But I'm going to err on the side of caution and say 60%, but lots of, you know, experts have said higher percentage of the immune system is actually in the gut. So those would be anything from the good bacteria to what's called the GALT, the gut-associated lymphoid tissue, which is all in the intestinal tract. And these are all these are soldiers. You know, these are bodies of the immune system that actually help to deal with toxins in your food or, say, food poisoning, bacteria or something in your food, dealing with viruses in the body. There are supplements that you can use to enhance GALT activity. And I utilize these type of supplements all the time with people, especially with children, because kids are so sick now, you know, or they get so sick, you know.
Right, and school is now starting, so all the kids are running to school and bringing home all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, and then it goes through the family. And so shielding the family, I mean, I love working with families. Because I just love hearing them say 3 months, 6 months later, you know, we went through the whole Christmas season or holiday season with no colds or flus. And they didn't necessarily have to get flu shots to do that, you know.
Right.
It's just so heartwarming to know that families could actually take care of their own.
Right, but they're going to need... They're going to need strong immune systems. The kids are going to have strong immune systems.
Yeah,
I should say,
exactly.
We did. You and I did a Solera report called Wintered Wellness, which is really on how to build up your and keep your immune system strong. And
mm-hmm.
We'll put up a link because you went into it in great detail, and it's very, very useful.
Yeah.
Okay. So sure. Detoxification. This is how I met you.
I know. I know you did such good work on that.
I know, but I thought when I was doing it that there was an end. And after 2 years, what I learned is, oh, this is forever. I'm going to have to be detoxing forever.
Well, you figure want to. You want to do that. Everybody wants to be able to, because that's how we go forward, is by getting rid of the junk and peeling the layers. Natural detoxification is something that our bodies are doing every minute. And so that's really what I like to enhance, help people enhance. Although sometimes I help people through detoxification programs, which are, 3 days, 5 days, 10 days, but enhancing the body's natural detoxification system is something that you can kind of do on your own. Maybe need a little guidance in the beginning on that, but you want to deal with the actual detoxifiers, which are the intestines, the kidneys, the liver, gallbladder, the skin, the lungs, and the lymph. And these are your natural detoxification organs. These are your filters. And they all work in different ways with different types of filtering, whether it be chemicals or virus or, whatever it is. They all filter different things. And I find the most effective way to enhance natural detoxification, daily detoxification processes, is to support what I call drainage. I call it that. It's called that by especially homeopaths. To enhance drainage, and again, I use a lot of homeopathics for this. So for every organ that's a detoxifier, there is a drainage product. So you can have something that helps to the liver to drain, help the kidney to the gallbladder, blah, 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 the lymph. I find those to be extremely helpful for just daily natural detoxification processes. In other words, once you're at a point where your body's running pretty efficiently, if you just do a few things like that, your body's going to continue to just keep kicking things out, because the filters are clean. They're not clogged. And the other thing is, for instance, for the lymph would be obviously massage is one of the greatest things for the lymph, especially right. A lighter massage or lymph massage. Not saying that deep tissue isn't good. It's good for different things. But about 60% of your lymph system is located beneath the skin. So There are different techniques for enhancing, lymph flow. I like using things like foot baths and mineral, high mineral foot baths, just something you can do right in your own home with one of those Tupperware foot bins, because all of that stuff really enhances detoxification and costs almost nothing to do,
Right. I do several foot baths a week, and I can't imagine life without them.
Mm. Yeah, I remember you found great relief, or it's kind of an ongoing thing. It's just part of your routine, right?
Right.
I don't want to forget the idea of I don't know if any of your subscribers know David Wolf. Probably some do and some don't. What he talks about is how calcification is the number one ager. Calcium buildup in the different organs and tissues of the body is basically what causes aging diseases. And so that happens when the body is hyperacid and when our filters are clogged, when we're not detoxifying on a daily basis the way we should be. And so I have a product that I use for that, that helps to decalcify, I guess you might say, to help the body remove calcium from where it's not supposed to, where it's not supposed to be. And so I think that's super important to look at the whole calcification issue, which doesn't necessarily have anything to do with intaking calcium. It could, but it doesn't have to do with that at all. It has to do with the body stripping calcium from different tissues.
So, and I also want to mention, you and I did a Solaria report on detoxification. We go through all the different methods Many of the different methods. Yeah, so I'm going to post that. So it's very extensive. And I went through all my different favorite. I don't know if you remember. Do you remember when the, you know, because one of the things you taught me that I love is testing and the importance of testing to kind of see where you are and always be working to improve. But I don't know if you remember when the lab called up and said they tried to get you to get me to give permission for them to use my history as a, I don't know.
For the metals, whatever. Right?
Because I had detoxed faster than anybody.
I remember that.
And my problem was, who knew what the, you know, I didn't know which one would work, so I tried them all.
On the topic of testing, one of the tests that I liked for people to get, and I don't actually do any of the testing myself, I just recommend, I have a certain biofeedback assessment that I recommend for people to get, and if anybody wanted something like that, they could just contact you and I can, you know, I could email them the information. But it's so effective for looking at what we were talking about before, hydration levels, right spin, left spin, how the cells are actually responding. Are they nourished and are they vital, and different levels of effectiveness of different organs and glands in the body. I find that to be super, super important for, you know,
right.
Information.
I love the biofeedback because you're looking at so much. You end up reviewing everything in one big test.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you remember, but I'm in the process of getting one.
Oh, okay, good.
yeah, so I need my annual biofeedback. Okay, structural strength is next.
Yeah, you know, this is it's so interesting getting older. It really, I mean, I have to say it's interesting because if you don't think of it as being interesting, then you could get pretty depressed. I never really thought of structural strength, which is was an afterthought, but doesn't really minimize it at all, because structural strength is so important. I talked to a caregiver organization when I was trying to help out my dad a couple of years ago, and who works with all elderly people, and I asked her, if you could say what is the most important thing to do for your body structure, because she's working with people who, you know, really who can't get around. She said, keep your knees strong. And I thought that was such a good piece of information, because she said most people fall, and various things happen, you know, when you fall. But besides that, I don't want to keep talking about getting older. It's just that I happen to be getting older. Well, we're all getting older, but I'm noticing how important structural strength is. And, you know, whether it be, you know, your joints or just your muscle strength, it's so important because we become so limited, and then our minds get limited. Our thought processes start to close in when we become physically less adept. And, people have different, you know, ways that they like to support keeping themselves structurally strong. I'm a huge fan of chiropractic. I've had many different chiropractors. Most of them have helped me, not all of them, but really helped me. So chiropractic is a great way to keep structurally strong. Acupuncture is a great way to, you know, a little bit different, you know, helping the flow of the meridians. Doing whatever your own exercise routine is, whether it be walking or out and out exercise. What do you do, Catherine? I mean, you keep super.
I find weight training and stretching both help me enormously.
Uh huh.
I mean, I do lots of aerobic stuff, but that I just find without weight training and stretching, I'm just not strong. And I started weight training when I was about 38. And I just really try and keep it up because it's, I don't know, I just think you really have to keep your muscles working. And yeah. I find it's one of the things that helps me the most with mental stress. If I start to get to fretting too much, all I have to do is go to the gym, and you know, it's almost like the fretting is the message that my muscles are not getting enough exercise. So I those are the two. I just put up a great video on the world's oldest bodybuilder about a 77-year-old woman who's a competitive bodybuilder. And you look at it, it's a little bit like seeing Tina Turner in concert. It's like, well, what's my excuse? And what it focuses you on is you can be unbelievably strong and active, you know, no matter what your situation in life, no matter what your age. And I think it's really very important to just build into your schedule time to do that. I started last year just scheduling the gym into my calendar. And, you know, I just get up and walk out. It's on the schedule, and that's what I do. So
nutritionally, what one can do to enhance that, structural strength, would be keeping calcium magnesium balance happening, and like I said before, with the calcifications in the body to help to chip away at calcifications, because that's one of the things that weakens the joints and the spine is when you have calcification buildup. There's also buildup of scar tissue, which a lot of people have from injuries and things, and there are homeopathics that you can use to help to deal with that, and there are certainly things that you can do, probably your chiropractor or even maybe your physical trainer or physical therapist can help with breaking down scar tissue. And then utilizing different structural sort of building nutrients, whether it be MSM or glucosamine, or different ones are good for different things. I'm hot right now on collagen products because I've just been finding people having such great effects with them. You know, basically they're combinations of amino acids that help to build the hair and the skin and the bones, and just really help athletic processes. And so there's a lot that one can do as far as services of others, doing things on your own, and then utilizing nutritional bolsters.
Okay, so last category, last group of tips. I wanted to mention travel, because fall is a time, and then you've got Thanksgiving, you've got Christmas. We're coming into a period of where most people are traveling, and I find that you really want to think very carefully about sort of supporting your health when you try. You know, I almost think of it like going into battle, because I do some pretty, you know, I do a lot of pretty extensive, you know, I'm an extreme traveler. So,
I've seen you several times on the road. I mean, I don't know, some of your subscribers have probably seen you, but some of them probably haven't, how your SUV is sort of, it's packed to the hilt with all kinds of things, just, you know, to help you go forward and in a healthy way.
Well, you see me when I'm going back and forth to California. Since I'm out there for a long time, the SUV is much more packed than it normally is. But I don't know. I have long checklists of things I do to ensure that I'm healthy on the road. So let's talk a little bit. What's important when you're traveling?
Okay, I don't want to get to the ad nauseum about hydration, but there are several products that I like I have like a pack of things that I carry, or I actually sometimes send it ahead because I don't like to check luggage if I'm flying. I'll send it ahead to where I'm going, or because whatever. Homeopathics that help to hydrate, like one is called Rehydrate, actually. Trace minerals. And then I always have water too, so that's really important. especially in the fall and winter when, you know, there are a lot of pathogens trapped in on the airplanes, you know, and there are different homeopathics that you can use. One is called flu milieu, for instance, and that is, I would say, one of the most important shields that you can take with you on a trip, because invariably people get sick when they travel.
Right.
So, you know, keeping your immune system strong and really helping in a focused way to deal with whatever you incur on a plane is super important.
Well, I also have to confess, I'm very conscious about this, but most of the time when I travel, I use these oil, and it always works. Now, who knows whether it's just psychological
use?
Thieves oil? Do you know
thieves oil
is? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can't tell you how many people I've had confess to me quietly that they use thieves oil and they never tell people, but they're absolutely sure it works. So maybe it's just all psychological, but it always works for me. So I'm very big on oils when I travel. They really help me. And we have a wonderful subscriber who has a company where she does oils focused on pain relief. And, you know, driving when you drive 700 miles a day in a car, you can get pretty stiff. So I have lots of oils for or when you're flying, if you can. I tend to get the exit row seats. But if I can't get the exit row seats, you know, on a 17-hour flight, if you're not in an exit row seat, you can get pretty stiff.
Yeah.
So I'm very big on oils. Okay.
I know you're coming to the end here. I just wanted to say quickly. So basically the list that we just went through for stress is a good list. It's a good list for travel. But if anybody wants to know, I mean, I have what I call my complete travel kit, which is rehydration drops. I always take enzymes. I take some sort of coral or mineral powder. Always use things for the bowels to make sure things are flowing properly. Because when you change time zones, a lot of people get constipated. I have a special oil that I use that's super, super good for any, you know, things parasitic or bacterial, depending upon where you travel. You know, sometimes it really helps to have almost like I guess you would say like a holistic first aid kit, you know, helps to have something that like that with you, because it really makes you, you know, sour on travel when you get sick, and, you know, it kind of changes the whole emotion of the greatness of it.
Right. The other thing is you have to organize it so you're always getting fresh food. It's very easy if you don't plan ahead for where you're going to get healthy and fresh food to suddenly eat what's put in front of you, or eat, you know, think you have to just, you know, get something at the barbecue counter at the airport, and you don't.
Mm-hmm.
If you plan ahead, if you know how to do it, you can always get fresh. But you really have to understand that there's going to be a tremendous difference in your health if you're eating light and fresh on the road versus, you know, whatever is being put in front of you.
I have a client that whose family was traveling from New York to North Carolina, and he was taking his kids on hiking trails and stuff. They actually live in Europe, and so they planned their trip. They mapped out all the Whole Foods markets, and not that Whole Foods is the, you know, the be all and end all, but they're, you know, easily accessible. And that's how they planned their trip. All the cities that had the Whole Foods where they knew they could either eat.
Believe it or not, I do that. I have a series of different markets that I use for fresh food, and I will map them out. A lot of times I'll carry, you know, I'll make my own food or I'll have organic food, and I'll carry, I have three big Coleman bags, I'll carry them. But I will absolutely map out where the markets are and organize things so that I don't have to get cornered. Because I have literally gotten off an interstate and between the restaurants and the grocery stores not been able to find real food.
I know.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. Anyway.
Well, there's always a way, though.
Yes.
Okay, I'll stop talking.
No, don't. Okay, so we talk good food, hydration, balanced blood sugar, stress handling, efficient digestion, immune strength, natural detoxification, structural strength, and be savvy when you travel. Right?
Right.
Okay. Great list. And I'm going to put up links to the Winter Wellness for Immune Strength and then our Detoxification Celery Report, because there's tremendous detail there. Well, Laura, this has been very, very helpful. I just want every subscriber who've had the opportunity to listen to this very good advice. Everyone's different, so sit down and proactively plan this fall and winter in investing in your health in whatever way you feel is appropriate, because I'll tell you, this is going to be, I think this is going to be a period of great change, and there's going to be a lot coming at us, certainly energetically, that's going to be trying to, you know, that's going to be loading on the stress, and we have to be able to bounce it off the force field or ignore it or handle it. So anything else you want to say in closing, Laura?
I think I'm good. I think we covered quite a bit of ground. And just
so how do we get a hold of you? How do we find your website? How do we keep up on your work?
Actually, my website is being reconstructed right now, but my I know, bad timing, huh? Well, I work by phone, 800-608-5602. And I just want to reiterate, I'm not a medical doctor. My degree is PhD in human behavior and nutrition. But I'm very wise. I've been doing this for a long time. And I guess I've gotten to a point in my professional career where I don't really feel like I need to follow the medical model, like be the holistic version of the medical model. I feel like I want to help people devise their own programs and help their own families and not need to have me. You know what I mean?
Right.
Help them get to the point where, because this is how we're going to heal the country. This is how we're going to heal the world, by healing ourselves, not by allowing other people to heal us. So that's an important point.
Well, I would say it this way, because I'm, you know, our sort of goal at the Celery Report is to help people have a free and inspired life. And of course, the challenge of having a free and inspired life is everybody's different. And what you want in your free and inspired life is different than me. And there's no right or wrong. It's basically, you know, each person creating their own pathway. And I think your contribution to that is physical. And so you like to help people, you know, be physically in a position to have a free and inspired life. And you like to teach them and help them to do it for themselves. Because ultimately, you know, if you look at just the grocery store sales for the last year, the problem is not that we don't know what to do. The problem is we're not doing it. And it's, you know, there's no one who can make us change. We're just going to have to do it. So I agree with you. We're all going to have to find our pathway to perfect health. And that's part of having a free and inspired life. So I think you're a great teacher.
Thank you, Catherine.
Yeah, my only problem with my health is being bad and not doing what you tell me to do.
It's a balancing act. The scales tip one way, they tip the other. You always do the damage control. So, you know, that's good.
Okay, well, thank you again. And I know we'll be checking back in with you because staying healthy is a journey, and it's a journey we're always going to need your support for. So, Laura, you have a wonderful day. And again, thank you for joining us on the Celery Report.
Thank you so much, Catherine, for the opportunity to speak with your subscribers and you. And I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.